I would like to invite you once again to close your eyes and have a word of prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much because we can come before you with our supplications, with our petitions, thanksgiving, and present them to you, whatever we are, whenever we want. And I ask you, Father, that as we come together this morning, or here at church, or through the live streaming, that your Holy Spirit may be working in our lives, that your voice may speak to us in such a powerful way. And I ask you, Father, that this message may be something useful and powerful for those in need. I ask you, Father, your grace and your love upon us. Once again, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our message, we are continuing our series that we started 2 weeks ago. So last week we were talking about Thanksgiving. But our message today is prescription for the soul, relieving stress. Our first message 2 weeks ago was about depression. And we are continuing this series for 2 more weeks. And then we are going to close this short series before Christmas. And anxiety has an effect on how we live our lives, how we respond to the stresses of life. And one question that I think it's really important for us to ask ourselves is, how many of us have ever experienced stress? So, and I think I know the answer. I think all of us, one time or the other in our lives, we have gone through some stress. And you know when you got it. So there is a tenseness in your body, the muscles tightening up, and you are not in a peaceful state of mind. If it keeps up long enough, you can become angry and even experience fatigue, lack of sleep. And the stress comes in different situations to our lives. It comes into us whenever we feel that we have lost control of a situation, whenever we get in a hurry, concerned that we are not going to get what we want or when we want to, or whenever we are under a deadline and we know that if we don't put an immense amount of effort into meeting that deadline, it's not going to get done. Or when we are fretted with a loss of something that is very valuable to us, and we are not sure that we can avoid that loss. So all those things can be stressful to us. And stress comes naturally. It's just our human response. But if we repeatedly experience anxiety, worry, stress, so that is going to have a huge impact on our health. So much so that the Bible, like Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, says that an anxious heart weighs down. Anxiety weighs down the heart. And another version says, an anxious heart weighs a man down. So there is like a physical impact on whatever happens in our minds. And according to a medical report, and this is from 1998, I believe that the numbers might be a little higher today, but Dr. Herbert Benson from Harvard Medical School believed that 60 to 90% of doctor visits are for stress-related diseases. Can you believe that? Can you imagine that? Up to 90% of doctor visits happen because stress-related diseases, hypertension, cardiovascular diseases, and many others. So 55%, according to another study, 55% of the American population is going through a moment of stress right now. 55. And when we compare to the average in the world, which is 35, that means that 35%, that means that we here in the United States, we have a higher level of stress, a higher percentage of people suffering of stress. So worries affect the circulation of the blood. It affects the heart, the glands, the nervous system. It affects everything. So what does the Bible tell us to do with stress and anxiety? So as Christians, should we have stress and anxiety? I think it's an our natural reaction to whatever is happening in the world. But it's important for us to know what the Bible says, so then we know how to respond. So, and the first thing that I'd like to share, like there are some Bible verses here I'd like to share with you, but then we're going to focus on Matthew chapter 8. But let's go first to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And here Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, or by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving present your requests to God." That's what Paul says. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." So it's really important to understand that God really cares for us. And then Jesus, of course, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes?" And then Jesus goes on to say in verse 31 through 33, "So do not worry." Do not worry saying, "What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all those things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all those things will be given to you as well." So anxiety and worry comes naturally to us, but as Christians, God is saying his word that our attitude should not be of allowing those things to control us. So, and God then commands us to recognize the sources of stress, the sources of anxiety in our lives, and deal with them. Not our way, but his way. So we have to deal with those things God's way. So in fact, not only God does command us to not to be controlled by stress in our lives, but he gives us an example of how Jesus himself dealt with stress. And that's what we have in Matthew chapter 8. But before we go into this chapter, I just want to remind you that if anyone ever had the right to become, to be overcome with anxiety and stress, that was Jesus. Just think about Jesus. Just think about his life. So he was constantly surrounded by people. So like being around people for many of us may be overwhelming. But imagine Jesus all the time. We had crowds. We had people surrounding Jesus. Wherever he went, there was always they were always pressing in close around him. So and those people were seeking him all the time, listening to his teachings, to his preaching. And so it was not only the constant expose to people like that could bring fatigue, tiredness to Jesus, but also we are told that Jesus had no home. So he had no place to go to lay his head. There was no place for him to retreat to. So we know that so he had some places that he could go, like Martha, Mary, and Lazarus' house. But Jesus didn't have anything like as a house for him, a place that he just could just close the door and shut people out. And adding to this, the fact that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were always persecuting Jesus, trying to picking at him. So the Jewish leadership, they was always like checking Jesus on everything that he was doing. And then, if there was not enough, his disciples were probably no fun to be around sometimes. So a lot of competition, competing for Jesus' attention, arguing about who, like the greatest, who was the greatest. And then, and above everything else, there was always this shadow. There was always this shadow that Jesus knew about his destiny, about his the cross. Jesus, during his entire ministry, he knew that he came to die, that he came to save us. So, and he knew that the time was going to come for his arrest, for him to be beaten, for him to go to the cross. So can you imagine all those things on Jesus and with the great mission of saving the world? So Jesus had every reason to be anxious. What if he failed? Every reason to be burned with care. And yet, we don't see any of that. So for the most part, we find that Jesus almost never appears to be stressed out. We know that there are some special moments that Jesus had to pray in going to the cross, that we see the blood like in Jesus' face. But this is a very particular time. We see that Jesus was never worried. Jesus was never anxious. Jesus was always in control, total control of his life, very confident. And the question is, how did Jesus do that? How did Jesus deal with his stress? And what can we learn today to live our lives as Jesus did? And this was not because Jesus was the Son of God. Remember, we have to remember that Jesus was also a human being. He cried. He suffered. So all those things was on Jesus. So in stress with the pressure of the world around him was something that Jesus had to learn to deal with. So how can we learn from Jesus here? And I would like to share with you three principles from the Bible, especially Matthew chapter 8 for us. As we deal with the stresses of our lives today. So there are many reasons for us to be stressed. We cannot just ignore them, deny them. They're here. And if today they are one thing, if today is because of a pandemic, tomorrow is going to be something else. There will always be something. So how can we deal with those things? So the first principle is this: if you are stressed out, get away for a while. So, and we see this principle in Jesus' life. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 18, here the Bible says, when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to the disciples to cross to the other side of the lake. When the crowds got too much for Jesus, so Jesus got in a boat and out to the sea. So, and we found a place, he could find a place where the pressures of his life could not get at him for a while. So Jesus needed those moments. And we see in many places in the Bible, during his ministry, that Jesus going off by himself to rest, to pray, to be alone. So we need that too. We see, for example, in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 and 23, that immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed the crowd, he went up on a mountainside to pray by himself. So, if we remember the context, that happened after the feeding of the 5,000. We have the same story in John chapter 6. And after feeding those 5,000 men, plus women, plus children, that huge multitude, they are very excited. So we have someone here that can feed us. And they were planning to make Jesus king by force. And Jesus realized what was happening. And that was the moment that he sent the disciples to the sea, to the lake, to cross to the other side. And then he decided, he dismissed the crowd, and he went by himself to the mountain to pray. So we need that too. Moments that we can rest. Moments that we can pray. So, and now, I'm not talking here, and the Bible is not talking here about getting alone to entertain ourselves. That's not what the Bible is saying here. So too often we draw ourselves not to rest or play, but to entertain ourselves, to fill our time, our free time with TV, with football, or turn on the radio, or listen to music, or talk radio, or play games on a computer. So that's not what the Bible is talking about here. So there is nothing wrong about doing those things, but we should not fool ourselves into thinking that this is going to bring rest to us, to relieve the stresses of our lives. So if all we do is get away to entertain ourselves, we are not going to give ourselves the time that we need to rest. And Philippians chapter 4, here Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. But I'm anxious. So how can I not be anxious? How can I deal with anxiety? So Paul continues. He not only says, do not be anxious about anything, but he says, how? And he says here in the same verse, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and supplication and petitions, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So, as we present our requests to God, as we spend time in prayer, thanksgiving is so important for us to recognize what God has already done for us. It helps us dealing with stress. So it helps us to see that there is someone that is caring for us. So, and this is very important, time to be still and know that the Lord is God. Time alone with God in prayer, thanksgiving, that's the best way to deal with stress. Take time. So we live in a society that we are valued, we are appreciated based on the things that we do. And many times we think that we have to run, do things all the time. So take time for yourself. Take time to rest. Take time to pray. A moment that you can just go to nature, or you can just go to a room in your house by yourself and reflect. No TV, no songs, nothing. Just you and God. Open your heart. Think about the great things that God has done for you and for your life. So this is the first principle that we see here. And we see that coming from Jesus' life. From all the pressure that Jesus had in his life. We see here that Jesus had total control of everything because of his relationship with God. So the second principle that we see here is that if we find ourselves filled with stress, we should realize that this is usually a sign that our priorities are not in place. They are out of whack. And in Matthew chapter 8 again, we find a man approaching Jesus. And he wants to follow Jesus. But he needs to do something else first. And then we see this interesting conversation between this follower, this man, and Jesus. And here the Bible says, another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." And Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." So it seems very hard here, Jesus saying those things. But we have to understand the context based on the society of that time. In that society, when somebody died, you usually bury them like immediately. You not take like 2 or 3 days because there was no way to preserve the body. And here in Matthew 8, we find this man that in this crowd listening to Jesus, and probably he was there for more than one day. Maybe he was following Jesus for a couple of days. We don't know. And we have the impression, and this is the conclusion of many people studying this chapter, those verses, that the father of that man was not dying. He was not dying. So he was probably alive. He was probably well. But what that man was saying was, "Let me wait until my dad dies, and then I will follow you." That could take years. So he was saying, "I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow you. But I have something more important that I have to take care of first." So Jesus here was not against the command to honor father and mother. That was not the point. The main point here is about priorities. So that man had good intentions, but God was not his priority. And that's why we have this text here. And if this is how we live our lives, sooner or later, this is a guaranteed recipe for a life filled with stress. So, and Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount that anxiety comes from having the wrong kinds of priorities. So, and that's what we read in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. That Jesus was saying, are you worried about where you're going to get your food or your clothes? So don't worry about those things. Even the pagans, they worry about those things. They run all over the place seeking food, seeking clothing, but not you. So you don't have to be concerned about those things because you should be different. And then Jesus says in verse 33, here in Matthew chapter 6, "But seek first his kingdom." This is about priority. "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness." And all those things that we are so concerned about, those things that many times we are anxious about, thinking how we are going to get those things. And Jesus says here, "And all those things will be given to you." So Jesus is not here saying that we should not work, that we should not plan, but he's saying that we should have our priorities in the right place. So, and how can I do that in my life? How can you do that in your life? So how can you set the priorities right? So that comes from a relationship with God. The more we spend time with God, the more we are going to realize that we have a caring God, a loving God, that is actually taking care of all our needs. Do you remember the concerns that you had in the past? So most of those concerns that you had actually never happened. And many of them, like you had no control. They solved themselves. They just disappeared. Most of the situations in our lives, so we are just speculating about the future, about what is going to happen, and we become anxious about a future that we don't know. And actually, we will never know. In this world, we will never know what is going to happen. And that's why it's so important for us to remember that our priority should be in God, in our relationship with Him. Because when that is in the right place, everything else is going to be taken care of. So how will I know if my priorities are in the right place? How do you know if your priorities are in the right place? Well, the best way to know that is this way. So when you face the situation that you cannot handle, how do you spend your time? So do you spend your time focusing on yourself, try to handle that problem on your own, or do you go to God with your frustration, with your concerns about the future? I think that's a great way for us to know how we are handling the problems in our lives, about our priorities. So do we bring everything to God in prayer, or do we try to solve those issues first? And we just expect God to bless us, whatever we do. So, to deal with stress, first, we need to get off by ourselves to rest and pray. And secondly, we need to make God our first priority in dealing with the problems. And third, and that's the third principle, is that stress is usually a sign that we have tried solving our problems by ourselves. So when that's how we deal with difficulties in our lives, and a problem comes along that's too big for us to handle, or it's not going to be changed by our strength and will, we often do not exercise faith. We exercise anxiety and worry. When faced with overwhelming difficulties, things that we cannot handle ourselves, we still look to ourselves, but not to Him, not to God. By the way, how do you handle the problems that you have in your life today? So that's what Jesus told the disciples when they were caught in that raging storm. Remember that they were in the boat. Jesus was sleeping. Mark chapter 4, verse 37 and on tells us the story. It says, a furious squall, a storm came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. There was nothing that they could do. And Jesus was in the stern, sleeping. Everybody was thinking that they were going to die, and Jesus was sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples woke Him and said to Him, Teacher, Master, don't you care if we drown? And the text continues saying that Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, Quiet, be still. Then the wind died out, and it was completely calm. And then the following verse says that He said to His disciples, Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? No faith? You see that those men had seen Jesus do so many miracles in their lives, during those years with Jesus. But remember, they were men of the sea. They had experience with the sea. So, and maybe they thought that this was not something that they need to ask Jesus for help. So they were used to face the storms. But this storm was different. They could not handle this one. So they became anxious. So they became worried, filled with fear. And I don't get the impression that they woke up Jesus to ask Jesus to calm the storm. So if we read here, we see that they were terrified. And they ask each other, like, are we going to die here? And they woke up Jesus saying, Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care if we drown? So they did not expect Jesus to solve their problem. They were asking Jesus, why are you sleeping? They were rebuking Jesus for not getting up and be concerned, worried, anxious with them. That's why they were complaining. They woke Jesus up. And so Jesus did solve their problem in a way that they did not expect. They knew that Jesus was powerful, but for some reason they didn't expect Jesus to do anything in that situation. And Jesus then said, why were you afraid? Why were you anxious? Why were you overcome with stress and worry? Where is your faith? You know, I'd like you to imagine Jesus asking you the same questions today. Why were you afraid? Why are you afraid? Why are you anxious about the future? Why are you filled with fear? Where is your faith? So faith here is not talking about what we believe. It's not about like a set of doctrines that we have. So faith in this context, it's talking about how we act on what we believe. So we all believe in Jesus. The disciples in the boat believed in Jesus, but they were not acting on that belief. Are we acting on what we believe about Jesus? Do we believe that he is the creator of the universe? Do we believe that he's still sitting on the throne? Do we believe that he knows everything about us and he cares for us? So Jesus is telling those men, I have been here all along. I have been here all along. And you are not acting like, you're just acting like I'm another person. Just one of you. You forgot who I am. I'm the Lord. I can just say quiet, and the waves, the wind, are going to stop. I'm here. Lean on me. Lean on me because I care. I care for you. I care about what happens to you because I love you. So in Matthew chapter 14, we have one of those stories about the storm. And this one, Matthew adds some details. We see that Jesus came walking on the waters. And the disciples, they were afraid of the waves. But when they saw Jesus walking on the water, they were terrified because they thought that there was a ghost. And Jesus had to say, it's me. Don't be afraid. In that moment, Peter said, Lord, if it is you, let me walk on the waters with you. And Jesus said, come. And Peter, little by little, he went and he put one foot and the other, and he noticed that he was going to be able to walk on the waters. And he was walking toward Jesus. And then suddenly there was a wave that covered, like Jesus, he was not able to see Jesus for a fraction of a time. And that moment he became anxious. He was afraid. And he started sinking. And that's the moment that the Bible says that he just cried out saying, Lord, please help me. And Jesus extended his arm and rescued Peter. And Jesus said the same thing to Peter. So what is your faith? So, and many years later, I believe maybe with that in mind, with those moments in his mind. The storms that not only him, but the other disciples, they face it together. And in many other moments in his life, different kinds of storms. With those moments in life, we see now Peter in his life. He's saying something about exciting. And he says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. He cares for you. So there will be always times when you will be faced with situations that you cannot control. You cannot change, and which will cause you to be overwhelmed with fear. I just imagine, for example, thinking about Izzy, her family. Thinking about Haley and her family. So, and then we're overwhelmed with all those thoughts. In those times, it's critical for us to remember that even if the situation itself never changes, God is still understands, and he still cares for us. I want to close this message with a story. And during an evangelistic meeting in Ireland, the speaker was explaining to the church what it means to abide in Christ and trust him completely in every trial, in every moment. In concluding his message, that speaker said many times, repeating the same thing, to abide in Christ, to trust him completely, means that in every circumstance, you keep saying, for this, I have Jesus. For this, I have Jesus. And for this, I have Jesus. And at the end of the meeting, this was a church that allowed time for people to give testimonies. And a young lady who had been at the piano stood up. And she said, well, I have to leave shortly. But I would like to be the first one here to share a testimony. So just a few minutes ago, I received a telegram saying, mother is very ill. Take the train home immediately. And she says, when she saw those words, she said, I knew that tonight's message was meant just for me. My heart looked up and said, for this I have Jesus. For this I have Jesus. And instantly a peace and a strength flooded my soul. And she continued. So she paused for a moment and then she continued. I have never traveled very far alone. But for this also, I have Jesus. And for all the strains and the suspense that goes with the thoughts of my mother's severe illness, I praise God that for this too, I have Jesus. And I want to remind you today that no matter what you are facing in your life, for this too, you have Jesus. It could be a financial problem, but keep repeating to yourself, for this I have Jesus. Could be illness in the family, for this you have Jesus. Could be some struggle that you're having physically or spiritually. Remember, for all those things, you have Jesus. It doesn't matter the situation that we face in our lives. It's always important for us to remember, for this too, we have Jesus. So I close this message just reminding you that those three important things that it's important for us to learn from Jesus. So if you're stressed, take some time to rest. Take some time to pray. So prioritize your relationship with God. Among all the other plans that you have, prioritize God in your life. And remember that He cares for you. And for this also you have Jesus. So Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And verse 7 continues, and the peace of God, who surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. May God bless us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ. We thank you because you care so much. You love us so much that Jesus came to this world to save us. But not only that, he came also to help us, to teach us how to deal with the difficult times in our lives. The Son of Man, the Son of God, they became a Son of Man who came to this world as one of us, pressed by so many things, persecuted, had no place to rest, no home. He had total control of his emotions, of his mental health. Help us, Father, to learn from him, to take time for ourselves, to take time to develop a relationship with you, to prioritize our time with you, to come to you before we go anywhere else when there is an issue in our life, so that we may have this peace that surpasses our understanding. We love you, and we surrender our lives to you once again. We ask your blessings upon each one of us, upon your church family, those who are watching, those who are going to watch. We ask you, Father, your blessings upon those who are suffering. I ask you, Father, your blessings upon the Romero family, upon Haley and her entire family, Nancy, Tim, the parents, everyone. Give them peace in those moments. And we ask your grace to fill our hearts with joy and to surrender everything to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.